quarter than our man Wild Bill. He was Cupid earlier this year. It's got to be distracting shooting free throws.
What's up, Aggie Nation? We got a special live recording podcast today with my dude, Kellen.
What's up, dude?
We're here for the Stony Brook game. We're doing a live in the middle of the street. What do they call this?
The Fan Fest.
Fan Fest.
Yep.
Yep. So everything's getting pretty exciting here.
It is.
But we have a really fun guest today, former football player. And you know he comes from long line of Aggie blood.
He does.
He had a brother make a bad decision.
We'll get to that.
But it's DJ Nelson. Say what's up, man.
What's up, guys? Aggie Nation. Good to be here. You know, I'm excited to be back. It's for the first game of the year. Obviously, wouldn't miss this for the world. So, and thanks for having me on,
dude. Oh. Thanks for being here, man.
Dude, yeah. Thanks. We're excited to get you on here and just chat, kind of pregame, talk a little about the game today at Stony Brook, and then really kind of talk about your life as an Aggie playing Utah State, growing up here in Logan, and all that.
Yeah, that wouldn't. I don't know how interesting that part is, but happy to talk about the Aggies this year. So,
yeah. No, it's good. Thanks for being here. It's cool to have somebody that kind of like we had Josh on. I don't know if that one's released yet, but Josh Flores is on, having a local boy.
Yeah.
So it's cool to have a couple in a row on where we get to chat with you a little bit about it. So let's just do this like true Aggie legend style. Let's jump in a little bit to your growing up here and kind of talk to us a little bit about your life in the shadow of Romney Stadium, now Maverick Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very well remember it being Romney too. So if I call it Romney Stadium, please forgive me. But
it's Maverick that'll have to
exactly
you,
right. May not be allowed at the Maverick anymore.
They don't sponsor us, so we're good.
But no, so obviously just growing up here. I guess I should probably start a lot further back than before I was even born. So I had two great grandfathers that were, you know, kind of way back in the early part of the 1900s here at Utah State. One of them was a trainer, George Nelson.
Is that the Nelson Fieldhouse?
Yeah, so he's known as Doc Nelson, and the Nelson Fieldhouse is named after him. He was a wrestling coach, longtime trainer here at the university. And then my grandpa Shab played quarterback for a team in the 20s. We have the it's pretty cool. We have a poster in our basement of the team in like 1921.
Oh wow.
And we got my great grandpa Nelson, who is the trainer, and then my great grandpa Shab, who is the quarterback of the team.
Wow, that's
and then
cool.
And then you even have
It goes deeper than that. Yeah, we're just getting
you
started.
You got a grandpa Tuller.
Yeah, so we're just getting started. So Grandpa Tuller obviously was athletic director and head basketball coach for a long time. Did the radio up until a couple years ago.
Yep.
I want to get him on here.
He'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Grandpa would love to.
You got his number?
For sure. Grandpa would love to.
We'll go swim at his pool.
Yeah. There you go. The diving board doesn't work anymore, though.
Let's do a live episode there, too.
I've been kicked off the diving board since I was like 16. I think I might have broken it. So. But it's still fun to go there.
That's awesome.
But Grandpa, two of my uncles played for my grandpa. My Uncle Scott, who married his daughter, Lisa. So Uncle Scott played for Scott Harries.
Okay.
And then my Uncle Tan Tuller was Rod Tuller's son. Played for him for a couple of years. I have an uncle, Larry Comodina.
Yeah.
Played football here.
Holy cow. You have a family tree in your basement that you could say?
No, this is all committed to memory, too. So and then so that's my mom's side. My dad's side, failed to mention, Ty Wesley obviously married my cousin.
Yep.
And then my cousin, Casey Comodina, was a walk-on of the basketball team for a while. Played a couple years on the basketball team, too, under Stu Moyle. And then my dad's side, so we have obviously Grandpa Nelson, great-grandpa Doc. His son, my grandfather, played quarterback here after playing at Logan High, but had a bad knee. And then my dad played on the football team in the 70s and early 80s. So.
And your dad was a trainer or a doctor here?
So then my dad went to medical school at the U, did residency at USC, and then came back here, has his practice, and he was a team doctor for a while.
Okay, that's right. Cool.
And what position did he play?
Yeah, so my dad was a running back.
That's right.
So that's what he played at Logan High. Yeah, and then came here as a running back. He told us all growing up, like, oh, I had injuries and stuff like that. Otherwise, I would have played. But you know how that goes. But ended up returning punts and stuff. So he was running back, punt returner.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
And then you went to Logan High.
Yep.
Played there.
Yep.
And quarterback.
Yep.
A lot of success.
Yeah.
It was fun. I remember watching you on TV.
Yeah.
Because you'd committed, I believe, to Utah State. Or at least I had faith that you'd end up in Aggie Blue.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember watching. I don't remember who you were playing. I believe it was the state championship game, though, at Rice-Eccles, and you threw like a 40-yard touchdown pass, and I was thinking, like, this dude's an athlete.
Yeah, I was so excited.
If you
go back, I remember statistically that being my worst game that I've ever played in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I was something like 7 of 21 for like barely over 100 at the time, and then that last completion was like ended the game, right? It was like 35 seconds left. I have to mention, I actually threw the touchdown to my best friend growing up, Jameson Hartman.
Oh, cool.
So me and him grew up actually like walking to Aggie games because we both live like right above the
right.
stadium. So we would like come to games together and everything. Cool. So that was really fun.
Did he end up doing anything with football after high school?
Oh, he's way smarter than the rest of us. He's actually, he works for Goldman Sachs in New York. So.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
He's a lot smarter than I was.
A lot smarter with no time.
Exactly.
Yeah, seriously.
Had a great time at Logan High, obviously, and being this close, it only made sense to, obviously there was interest in Utah State,
right.
And Gary was the coach at the time, really good friends with the Suns,
yeah.
Chasen and Hagen. And,
did you go to high school with them?
Yeah, so I was there, they were juniors and I was a senior, so
okay.
The story of how I got my offer is actually pretty funny, so I don't think I ever got an official letter.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, from Utah State, because I was up there every other weekend, just at their house,
and
they were over at my house, and so I'd just be like, yo, coach, what's up? And that was my relationship with Coach Henry.
right.
And Coach Tuiaki, who at the time was a running backs coach,
now
the D coordinator at BYU, he was kind of like my connection, who, funny enough, he's an uncle to one of my best friends that was playing it with me at Logan High. So, again, there wasn't like a lot of formal introduction in the recruiting process. We had just played, I think we had just played like Roy High or something like that. We went to Logan to watch film the next Saturday morning. We was walking out of Coach Favero's room, and Chasen hands me his phone. Chasen, one of Gary's sons, has me his phone. He's like, it's my dad. And so I'm like, what's up, coach? And literally this was a conversation. He's like, hey, so we're going to offer you, knowing obviously you're going to go on a mission, you'll come back. He's like, we're going to have you, start play quarterback. If that doesn't work out, we know you're an athlete and you can do a lot of things for us, but sound good? And I was like, yep. That was it. And I think I might have even said, all right, see you tonight or something like that.
Love you, coach.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't feel like Coach A is much for the formalities of the hype around getting scholarships and stuff to
absolutely.
Guys. He likes to do it one-on-one kind of a thing.
He's Coach Anderson. The thing that I loved most about Coach Anderson was he genuinely invests in his in his guys, in his players,
and
you can tell that in the sincerity in his voice, and I'm happy he's back, and it seems like the team really loves him too. So
I think everybody's pretty excited to have Coach A
absolutely
here,
and he cares a lot about the valley,
he cares a lot
about the state of Utah,
he loves it here.
He's
a great guy. We're excited. I'm excited getting there.
Yeah, we're gonna
and,
do great
and
things.
Watch that today.
Yeah,
see what goes on in there.
Absolutely.
So how was that going from a couple of your best friend's dad to a coaching relationship? Because it has to have changed a little, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be like, oh, come on, Coach A.
Yeah, you know, right.
What year did you actually come and play then?
Yeah, so I obviously committed. Coach Anderson offered me. At the time, Coach Wells was the quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So as I went through, like, my official visit and signed and everything, I was meeting a lot with Coach Wells. And then I did one semester, I believe. It was like a half semester between like spring and fall camp. And then I left on my mission early part of August. So I actually wasn't part of fall camp that first year.
Okay.
But I was there for some spring practices and then did summer workouts. And so there wasn't like, everyone knew I was leaving. So it was just kind of like I was there, just kind of like getting around the guys, right?
Right.
So I never had like a, I couldn't really tell you what Coach A is like as a coach because I was never in practice with Coach Anderson. And then he comes back the year that I leave, of course. Luck, right? The luck of the draw for me.
He didn't really want to coach you. He was like, I've had enough of this kid exactly. in the basement. He's like, let's just
wait.
Movies.
Let's just wait till his, you know, 7 years are done, and then I'll just come right back.
Not need him.
Exactly, right? He'd seen too much of me like playing NCAA or being down there in the basement.
Yeah, I think what it was is he felt obligated to offer you a scholarship.
Right? Because
I was like, his son's friend. Exactly. I don't want any part
and
of
then
it.
Mel, this Wells guy's is bad like, news. Thanks for leaving him with me.
wash my hands of this guy.
Yeah.
So what is that like coming home from your mission, knowing now, you know, Coach A's gone?
Yeah. So there was a little bit of a connection because Coach Wells was still there.
Yep.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me was not getting a taste of kind of the what college football really was like.
Yeah.
And I think if you asked any return missionary kind of what that's like coming from high school or their experience being high school and then their first fall camp, it's like a shock.
Right? Yeah.
I was probably even more of a unique situation because I'd got home 2 days before fall camp started.
Oh.
So I got off the plane. I got off the plane July 31st. We reported August 2nd. So I was in pads on August 2nd.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
How'd that work, man?
So yeah.
had you been like training and stuff before you got home?
Very. Yeah. When I went on my mission, knowing that was going to be the case, I just kind of told myself, "This is my mission, and that's what I'm going to do. And this time's going to mean, you know, it's going to mm-hmm. be important to me that way. So I wouldn't pay too much attention. So I did very minimal training.
Wow.
Nothing that would ever prepare me for a Division I practice.
Right.
So how was that coming into the fall camp 2 days?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the whole staff and every player was like, yo, this is him. Like, he's coming back. Like, this is what we got. You know, because I was a little bit out of shape, probably a little chubby, wasn't very fast. And, you know, kind of the way that I play is very athletic, playmaking ability, right? Mm-hmm. Especially a quarterback, you know, you rely on quickness and snap decisions. And when that's taken away, all that's left is kind of this, like, short kid right. who's not very big, can't throw the ball very well right now. So it was just like, everyone, I'm sure, was just under their breath, like, yo, what the heck? So,
lucky he's friends with Coach A.
Yeah, exactly, right? No, it was good, though. It was a huge learning experience because I learned what I was capable of, even being somewhat limited physically, to where I could. And, you know, I never got in a game. It was a redshirt year. That's what it was going to be from the beginning, right? So, but even in practice and the live bullets that I took in scrimmages and things like that, it was like, all right, so, you know, even if I'm not 100% where I want to be physically or ready for this, you know, I could still hang a little bit.
Right.
So it was tough, but it was also good to learn kind of, you know, where I was at.
For sure.
Yep.
So what was, like, the first kind of, like, welcome to D1 football moment? Do you remember having one of those?
Oh, man.
Think about it for a
minute. Welcome to D1 football.
Did you get rocked by somebody and just be like, oh,
yeah, so my first couple years, I actually didn't play very often. Obviously redshirted the 1 year, then was backup quarterback. But I do remember taking some live shots every once in a while in practice or scrimmages, things like that. So it's kind of a lame story, but my welcome to college football moment, the D coordinator at the time when I got back was Todd Orlando, who Aggie fans remember very well, you know, awesome defense, very creative in his blitz. And we were going out to do kind of like a young guy scrimmage, you know, it was like freshmen, redshirts, and sophomores and things like that.
Okay.
And I'm warming up, and T.O. walks right by me. And he goes, I'm going to bounce your head off the turf today. Like, that's all he said, right? Like, he's just like, I'm coming for you, Nelson. And I get out there, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever, cool. Like, I'm walking out, like, thinking I'm swaggy or whatever. And I get out there, and for the life of me, I'm kind of a heady football player. I like to study the game.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I've seen a lot of looks. For the life of me, could not figure out what they were doing. All I knew is that as soon as I caught the ball, there were like three guys in my face. So like, I was like, goodness gracious, this guy is crazy. So I remember catching the ball. And that's like the closest thing I had probably to a welcome to college football moment.
Is your D coordinator saying
my head's going to bounce off the turf. And it's like a scrimmage on a Thursday night. And I'm like, what are we doing? And then my second one, I took a shot from the middle linebacker at Wake Forest.
Oh, okay.
Junior year.
Was that the game here?
It was away.
Oh, it was the one there.
It was my junior year.
I forget how young you are still.
I took a shot. And I remember kind of blinking a couple times. It was pretty cloudy.
Was it on a...
Like it was on a punt.
A punt? I was going to say it was a punt.
It was on a punt. And I was running down and he just kind of banged. And my chin snapped back. My mouth guard popped out of my mouth on impact. And I don't know how that happened. But I remember like picking it up and, you know, being a little woozy.
That's amazing. So, yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, did that happen often? Did you get just that that pop of your mouth guard often?
Oh, yeah. So pop, yeah, but I've never had the mouth guard come out on impact. It's always just kind of like fell out or something like that.
Right.
I'm a little different, so I love that. It's like a, it like clears your sinus. Yeah. Like it's like a.
I like getting punched in the face.
It's, well,
I'll
be well, it's like honest. A, yeah. I mean, I don't know if
we
I
don't need to know what you're like in the bedroom.
I've never taken a shot to the, like a real one, so I don't know. But like, right. I got my helmet on, right? So I can say like, oh yeah, let's hit. But I've always kind of loved the impact of the game and hitting.
Yeah.
And right. I love playing football, right? You know, quarterback was my position growing up, but I never considered myself a quarterback. I kind of branded myself as a football player who plays quarterback. Right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So the physical aspect of the game, hitting, you know, getting my head bounced, you know, or you know, taking a shot or running someone over was always fun.
Right.
And it was like a weirdly like clearing thing. Like you get hit and then it's like, oh, I can see now. Like the fog is gone. So
most people say the fog sets in.
The fog comes in, right? Yeah. I was a little opposite. Yeah,
yeah. That explains a lot, DJ.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when I'm in the grave and they do an autopsy, they'll be like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, so, this brain is a little weird.
A little weird, right?
Is it mushy? It's way mushier than most.
Yeah.
So being undersized, as you've stated a few different times, let's kind of back up. Darwin Thompson, currently in the NFL, he talks constantly about he makes up for it in the weight room. So obviously going into D1 ball in that situation, being undersized, you have to kind of be aware of that situation. Did you feel like you had a situation in your case that you were in the gym extra time, or did you just study the game?
Yeah.
Or like, what was your approach when you're coming in undersized? I mean, there's plenty of undersized guys
you
being recruited right now, right?
So you have to gain an advantage somewhere because obviously physically you don't have one, right?
And where did you find yours?
Yeah. So first of all, let me say Darwin may be undersized, but there's not. I don't think anyone is physically compares to him, at least that I've seen in my life. Like,
I saw a tweet from the trainers in Kansas City with his shirt off. They're like, let's not forget this is what he looks like with his pads off.
Andy
I couldn't believe it.
Andy Reid called him rocked up, which is perfect. It's like someone put rocks in places of his muscles, right?
That is insane.
When he was here, I used to like put my hand on his back and be like, dude, why are you like carrying around these ropes? Because it literally felt like there was a rope on his back.
Really?
Just so Darwin is I'm not even going to compare myself to a guy like him, but anyway, so undersized guys, right? You have to gain an advantage somewhere. I love football and I love sports, but it's like more than just watching. I love being a student of the game. That goes back to.
So is it just football, or did you play basketball?
I played all three.
I played baseball too.
So I started out. I remember being like 7 years old.
Don't you dare!
So
baseball's
so,
where it's at. Too.
Yeah. So we can. Yeah. Exactly. Right. That's the best.
Where the money is.
This is from.
Did you? Oh, really? Is
coaching,
that the
that's
the club and, team?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah. That's sweet. So
Bill's over here giving me a thumbs down for baseball.
Well, no, those are the smart guys. I mean, Trout however many hundred million.
Cow.
I tweeted the other day because I was watching.
I saw this tweet.
I tweeted. I was like, man, I should have stuck to baseball. Like, hey, I think about that all the time.
Anything's better than basketball.
I hope Ty's not listening.
No, he won't. He knows Bill's a hater.
So
love basketball.
So going back, like I guess to go further, where I gained my advantage. From a very little, I remember being like 8 or 9, and I literally was doing, in a calendar year, I wrestled, I played basketball, I did soccer, I was playing baseball, and I was playing football. So those five sports, and you know, I was 9 or 8, and bless my mom and dad's, you know, my mom's heart mainly. My dad loved every minute of it.
Right.
Bless my mom's heart. She lugged me to every single game.
Right.
I didn't miss.
Do you think that helped playing all those different sports?
Absolutely.
Training your body to
Absolutely.
Do so many different movements? And,
absolutely.
I mean, wrestling is...
Wrestling is the best thing that
I was
going to
say. That's
developing
the hardest
athlete,
thing I've ever done.
I think a developing athlete, everyone should wrestle if you have.
I mean, I would never call myself an athlete, but I was a wrestler in high school.
That's athleticism in its purest form.
I think I had the football coaches telling me constantly, and baseball coaches, wrestle in the winter. Don't even try out for basketball.
Yeah.
And I went to wrestling practice after because our defensive coordinator was the
wrestling
coach. And so he was like, hey, dude, you need to come wrestle with us. Sure. You'll be state champion by the time you're a junior. We'll get you two state championships.
Awesome.
Like, that's what he kept telling me. And I went to two practices, and I remember walking out the second. It was two-a-days, so it was four practices. Yeah. And I walked out, and I quit. I was like, this is too hard. This isn't fun. Why do these guys do this?
Sport is not for the faint of heart.
It is
right?
Not.
So from a very young age, it was like anything with a competition or a ball or something like that was like my thing. So, and then I remember being like 12 or 13 years old. This was around the time that my brother was being really successful at Logan High. He was getting recruited, you know, mainly in state. There was a couple out of state schools. And so I was there. I would sit. I remember like
your brother, Riley.
Riley. Yeah. I would like eavesdrops when a coach would come by, like they'd be in the living room I'm like sitting there at the edge, like, yo, what is he saying? Right. So like that obviously kind of attracted me towards, you know, making something out of all these sports that I play. And so I figured out from a very young age, you know, 12 or 13, all right, I'm not as big as other people. I was pretty quick, pretty athletic. So I had kind of an advantage there, had a lot of fast twitch, but I'm going to need something extra. And so naturally that drew me to being the smartest player I could possibly be. I was lucky enough to, you know, so my dad instilled that in me, my brother instilled that in me, and I was lucky enough to go to high school at Logan High where Coach Favero is, who is the perfect example of creating students of the game. You know, we would have meetings where instead of us, you know, like going and running or something like that, we're like watching film together as a team and he's teaching us, right? Just kind of fell in love with the strategy of the game and figured that that's where I could gain my advantage, always being the smartest player on the field.
That's awesome. So was film like where you did a lot of that? Did you, I guess it's kind of difficult because looking at it from your perspective, you come in and you just meet with coaches as well and sit down. Like, are you watching film by yourself mostly? Talk to us a little bit about that, because we hear that a lot. Like, we know Peyton Manning's a film geek, right?
Yeah.
And we hear that other players love watching film.
Yeah.
But is there a certain way that you would approach film rather than just watching it? Do you sit there with a notepad? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
what does a day of film look like?
Yeah, day of film.
I don't think a lot of us know what that means.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so I guess probably what I'll explain is, so everyone will come out with a scouting report, right, on your opponent. Now, you can do self-scout, and self-scout's probably where the most improvement is like an individual player.
So self-scout's where you watch yourself.
Watching yourself, right? So you'll do self-scout, and you'll watch yourself, critique your technique, write a few things down, mm-hmm. and then that translates to individual workouts. So if I wanted to get better in a skill, I would go watch film, create a plan, and then 6 or 7 at night after workouts are done, I've eaten, relaxed for a little while, come up to the field, do 45 minutes of my own thing.
Cool.
So there's that aspect of gaining an advantage, right? And that's where guys like Darwin, Darwin's like, I'm always in the weight room. That's what he'd be doing, right? Like, man, I got to get my contact balance up or work on drive. He'll come to the field, you know, attach a chain to his waist and start going, right?
Right.
Good night.
That wasn't necessarily me. Darwin's I was way more like, man, I gotta, you know, figure out footwork here, and so I do like the lesser version.
Right.
And then as far as like film study, so becoming a student of the game, there's a couple ways that I did that. I would, in the off season, I would watch other teams, NFL and college, and see how things, you know, kind of like their strategy, what they did, things like that. That didn't have to be a competitor, but I would just kind of learn. I always made sure I was keeping track of time in the game, down and distance, right? Because I can show you guys 9 clips, and you wouldn't have any context as to why they're doing it. All I would show you is like 9 random clips, but they could be 9 key plays in the game because of time and down and distance. So I was always making sure I tracked that. Always making sure that I was doing something that would help us win, meaning I was learning something that I would eventually carry to a coach or carry to another player and be like, yo, check this out.
Right.
So that's what film was for me. It was always looking to gain an advantage in some way.
That's cool. So let's transition now a little bit into some of the plays in college. You have... In my mind, you have a couple memorable plays. One specifically I won't bring up. I'm going to wait and see if you do. But what are some of your like highlight moments being in Logan, playing, you know, for the Aggies? It doesn't have to be in Logan. I just mean, what are some of the big games, some of the stuff you were pretty proud to be part of?
Oh, man. I'll just start it off. One of my favorite ones was Andrew Rodriguez, who was actually a roommate of mine. He took a punt back to, like, win us a game. Against, I believe it was SUU.
Yep, it was. I remember that one.
I actually was not even on the field, but Andrew is a good friend of mine. We were roommates, always hanging out. I love him. Yeah. And so, like, that was so fun for me to, like, have him be the hero.
That was a frustrating game.
Yeah, it was. We didn't play our best, but, like, he came through, and it was just, like, awesome, right? And then, like, a week later, Zach Van Leeuwen, another friend of mine, scores a big touchdown against the U. Dax, obviously, watching him go to the NFL, like, those, you know,
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, you're saying, oh, friend of mine. How is it navigating friendships with your team? Is it like, is it these are my roommates and they become my friends? These are the same position as me, they become my friends? Or is it just everybody on the team is your teammate and they become friends?
Yeah, how I'd say it's the latter. I'd for sure say it's the latter. Everyone on the team is, you know, you start off as like a, There's a balance between, like, you have your friends, you have your teammates, and you have like a brother that you consider a brother.
Yeah.
I think teammates sits right in between that, like, friends and brother. It's more than a friend, a little bit less than a brother in some cases, can be even more. But it's stronger than, like, a friend.
Right.
Now, when I say, like, he's my friend, that's usually what I'm saying is, like, I lived with him.
Right, right.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, like, that he's a teammate, right? But I also, like, outside of the team, right, I was very involved in his life.
Right.
So that's what I mean. So, like, Dax, guys like, and I can name everyone.
Right.
I could literally go. But as far as, like, things that I'm proud to be a part of, like, those are just memorable. And, you know, me and Kent were both, Kent Myers, we're both freshmen that same year.
Yeah.
So we were kind of in that together when Kent got in. You know, I obviously was redshirting at the time, so I wasn't getting any reps. But, you know, me and Kent were watching film together, growing up together, right, you know, learning. At that time.
So when you came back from Michigan, were you still expecting to play quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've always thought of myself as a quarterback.
Were you on the depth chart as quarterback that year?
Yeah. For my first 4 years, I was quarterback. I was on the depth chart, obviously, like in the backup. You know, if something had happened,
but they were getting you rotation, like, snaps in other spots all the time. It seemed like. But your last season.
My last two, So my junior and senior year.
You were all over
the place. Sam, are you gonna come to LSU with me?
Look who it is!
Oh, look who we got here.
We got Sam.
Guys, you need to get Sam to come to LSU with me.
Oh yeah, you go.
I'm trying to get him.
Sam, you want to say hi to everybody there?
Say hi, dude.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Sam Merrill on the mic.
DJ, you're a great guy.
No, you are too. Actually, if I'm gonna be honest, like, my favorite Aggie memory is probably the Mountain West Championship.
Right?
Like, I was on the court. I graduated last year in March, and I, like, ran down to give Sam a hug.
So. That's awesome.
I don't think
he
remembers
that. Love that watching.
I know, right?
No kidding. Sam and those boys just take it.
And we're looking forward to another one this year. No pressure though.
No pressure, Sam.
He's got enough pressure on himself. He's a competitor.
But always played quarterback. But like I said, it was just kind of like I always viewed myself as a football player. So wherever the team would need me, and if coach saw fit to put me there, I'd be fine with it. So
now talking about Kent, you brought up an interesting point there. Chucky goes down. Kent starts to see time. Now, how does that kind of transition when you guys are hanging out, you're watching film, next thing you know, your dude next to you is like, hey, you're starting next week. Like, did you remember any conversation with Kent talking about that, or the vibe on the bench?
It was just we were making sure that we were going to go into the game as confident as we possibly could be, and we were going to prepare every way that we could. So my plan, like I said, I was barely 3 months off a mission. So physically, I don't know if anyone was comfortable with me going into a game. So it was always redshirt from that beginning. So I kind of took on the role of making sure that Kent was ready to go in every game. Putting in that extra work the night before. I remember multiple games the night before, we would just run through the whole entire play grid. You know, making sure everything's good to go on reads and stuff like that. So
it's just crazy listening every time we have someone on that talks about their student athlete experience. How do you guys ever go to class or do homework? Just blows my mind.
Either of you guys, how do you do it?
It's not that hard. You just get up and do it. I don't know.
You're much better student than me.
Yeah, I don't think school's actually that hard, to be honest.
I mean, I'm saying that, and then there's people that are, like, biochemistry majors.
Right.
I did, like, business administration, so it was
That just seems so difficult, because you're trying to watch film, you're trying to improve yourself. You obviously want to compete at the highest level, because in most cases, your aspiration is to play professionally to some degree.
For sure.
And so, man, the focus on school would be, like, so difficult for me.
Yeah.
I have a hard time when fly fishing is around. You know what I mean? I had a hard time focusing on class, knowing the river's right there and the fish are biting. So,
but no, it's fun. And you know, like, being a student athlete is so much fun to be around these guys. And, you know, I've had teammates right now. I could probably name 15 or 20 guys that have gone on to the next level. And so to be a small part of their life, whether they remember me or not, you know, I've been able, I could tell you memories of all every single one of them.
Right.
And so going back to like the original question of like, what's your favorite Aggie memory? Yeah. My favorite Aggie memory is literally that. I know it sounds corny and you may not believe me, but the fact that I was a part of that is what I would cherish the most, I'd
for
say.
For sure. So I remember one play distinctly last season that I immediately left my seat screaming your name because you were about to score a touchdown.
Was it against San Jose?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone talks to me about that, man. So I just got, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I scored two touchdowns in my career. One was a block punt return and then a fake field.
Yeah, I remember the block punt as well.
So the San Jose...
It was just the senior season.
So I haven't told anyone this, but I had a bad knee problem.
Oh, really?
Most of the we didn't really know what it was, but like I was having a hard time, you know, like rehabbing and stuff like that.
Bursitis?
Yeah. No. But I had a knee problem that was it was hard for me to like kind of like openly admit just because I wanted to play. So
yeah.
The only thing I remember about that game, that play, is I catch the ball, I go to break, I step inside, rolled off a tackle, and it was like, all right, now you got to go. And I just
and
didn't have it.
There.
I didn't have it. And, you know, it was probably more so the fact that, you know, we were going fast and I was a little tired. It was like fourth or fifth play of the drive. But I remember getting down the sideline and I'm like, no, I'm not going to make it, man. I'm going to get hawked and I'll never live this down. And so I cut back and I was like, all right, we'll just see if I can get in on a cutback. So I'm glad everyone thinks I deserve to get in, but I didn't
I
didn't have the leg,
nuts.
Man.
The crowd went nuts because we're all like, dude, we were destroying them. Everyone's scoring. And we're like, I think we got one more receiver that needs a touchdown today.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome. I didn't know you. Did you ever figure out the knee problem? I didn't know you had an issue that season.
Yeah, you kept that quiet. Yeah.
I believe the MRI, so right before the bowl game, me and Mike went in for an MRI. It was the day we were leaving.
Mike Williams,
the trainer, yeah. And we come back, and the MRI results obviously didn't come in until we got into New Mexico. But he pulls me in as we go in. He's like, hey, so they found evidence of some bone bruises and, like, a partial tear or something like that in your meniscus,
wow.
If I remember correctly. So it was just a tough spot, and I had played the rest of the year. And Mike's like, I mean, we can sit you out or you can just go through it. And I was like, yeah, I've gotten this far, whatever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything, like, that would have kept me out. It was just that
you weren't taking care of it.
I like to use that as an excuse that I couldn't outrun anyone in the end zone, right? No, but that was like, obviously it was something that I noticed throughout the year, and knee was bothering me, and then that's what it was.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I want to switch gears just a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your brother made a bad choice after his mission to go down south.
Yeah.
How did...
Did you hear about AB already?
Yeah, dude.
Patriots. How did that...
So Sam mentioned AB, everyone. And Antonio Brown's going to the Patriots.
We
repeat
saw that, like,
2007. Yeah, they're going to win again. All right. Go ahead, Bill.
So was there any pressure, any talk from him for you to go to BYU?
Yeah.
When you were, you know, getting ready to go to school anywhere?
Yeah. No. He never pressured me into going down there.
Did he suggest it? Was it...
No. Riley was my number one fan. In fact, the moment that... One of my favorite memories of Riley and I and, like, my recruiting process was my senior year. Going into senior year, it was senior summer. And that's when, you know, guys go to camps and go to, like, individual showcases and things like that. Riley drove up from Provo, met me in downtown Salt Lake at a Utah camp to just watch me.
Really?
And so, yeah.
Wow.
And then after the camp, proceeded to pick me up from the camp and drove me down to BYU's camp so I could do the same thing. And then I went home. So he was so supportive in that he wanted me to make my own decision. I mean, obviously went to him for advice, but he never was like, yo, check this out, da 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 da. In fact, he was the most hyped for me probably when I committed. Because at the time, so when you look at those two scenarios, and I'll defend him for a little bit.
Right here, go ahead.
Just to kind of set the record straight. So Riley was in a tough spot, coming in as a freshman, playing in a couple of games. So he burned his red shirt. They went 1-11. The next year they go like 3-8. And then Coach Guy, the guy who recruited him, is fired. All while that's happening, BYU is BYU's roster has two senior quarterbacks and nobody else.
Yep.
And so I remember a couple BYU coaches giving my dad a call, being like, hey, like, we know obviously he can play. Would you be open to it? And I remember the dad, my dad wrote the email to my brother. He's like, don't want to distract you, but this is happening. You know, USU's in the middle of a coach change. BYU's top 25, looking for an extra dude. And so, you know, I don't know what he decided, but when you look at it that way, it doesn't make that much, you know, it doesn't make it that crazy of a thing. Where now, fast forward to my situation, BYU was kind of leveled out. Utah State's on the rise, right? I had no reason to think or to want to ever to go with BYU.
Right.
When I don't Utah think State anybody ride, ever right? has a reason to go on that.
Yeah. And so in my brother's eyes, to see me go to Utah State at that time, it's like, yeah, no brainer. Like, you're right. going to yeah. go there. You're from there. Everyone loves you there. So absolutely no brainer. And I bet you if the roles switched, he would make the same decision I made. And it'd be hard for me not to make the same decision he made, to be honest.
Don't say that on this.
No, that's a fair statement. I mean, I think if you can look at it objectively,
yeah.
people would be like, I guess I see that. But what we're thinking is there's tampering going on while guys are on their mission, right? Like we've heard some stories. I believe in Ty's episode, wasn't it, that he brought up that he was getting hit up in the MTC by somebody about going there.
Yeah, that happens.
We haven't released Ty's yet, but that's right.
We just interviewed him. Yeah, there's a sneak preview into that one.
No, there's
we're gonna hold on to that one.
I'm well aware. I'm well aware of those stories. And
yeah. Did that happen
just,
to you? At
just
all?
Give us a little more fuel to not like them, okay?
Don't try and quell my.
I don't know about you guys, but I kind of feel bad after watching that first game of theirs. Like,
maybe we'll see how today's game goes, and then I'll decide if I'm in trouble.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, yeah, I mean, there's obviously that. I don't pay too much attention to them, man. We got our own conference, we got our own goals. Exactly. I don't think Aggie fans need to really worry about them too much, other than the games that we play them.
Yeah,
so that's kind of my.
I'm excited for that game.
Yeah. Me too. That'll be a good one.
It'll be fun playing here in Maverick Stadium.
Go for three. We'll get three in a row.
Get three.
That's what's gonna happen.
Hey, I can't wait till. I like how the U fans keep saying how the streak's old enough to get baptized.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I want to get our streak to send on
there
a mission.
There you go. Nice. Right.
I like that. Oh, that's good. So as far as your time here, so you mentioned 7 years of time kind of dedicated.
if you count the mission,
obviously. Me and the Bill, it was like 7 or 8 after the mission, right? But definitely kind of a lot of memories as far as from an Aggie fan's perspective. And those were some pretty transitional years.
Yeah,
obviously,
absolutely.
You mentioned Wells takes over.
Yep.
And you never really know how an assistant coach taking over the head coaching job at the same school is going to go over. But coming home, it seemed like the guys had pretty good confidence in Coach Wells and his abilities. Now, I know there's, you know, hearsay and how certain people felt about it, but talk to us a little bit about your time, you know, playing for Wells and kind of what that was all about.
So, obviously had a lot of success when I was there with Coach Wells. Coach, I have nothing but good things to say about Coach Wells. He's obviously, his success speaks for itself, right? Was able to have some good teams. Probably the most impressive thing, if you ask me, is how quickly we were able to turn things around, going 3-9 my sophomore year to senior year, going to 11-2. And, you know, good for him and best of luck to that staff. Obviously, that staff, my last 2 years, I can name like 9 or 10 coaches right there that went with him. So I wish them nothing but the best.
For sure.
As far as the time with Coach Wells, I don't know if you could have like a more valley kind of time, if you ask me.
Right.
And so that was very, very valuable and something that I think that Utah State will be able to build off of for a lot of years.
Now, when you say valley, just to clarify, you don't mean the valley, cash valley. I'm talking about the records dipping.
Yeah.
Right. I do want to ask a question on that because, you know, you can see on boards, you can see people kind of giving Wells some heat right now. But any player that I've talked to, besides Alex Wheat, you know, off air, they all loved him. They, you know, Wells was a player's coach. People loved him.
Yeah, he grew into that role.
You know, and then I'm hearing rumors that, oh, you know, people didn't like him. But, you know, can you shed a little light on that?
Yeah.
Like, even just from your side, I think it seems like there was nothing but love for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's your head coach. like that's your guy, and he's going to go to bat for you, and he expects you to do for you to do the same to him, right? I had no knowing that, and no, like me being the player that I was, had zero. Okay, here's what I'll say. There's every good coach is going to create an enemy or two.
Yeah.
Does that
yeah,
make sense? Yeah. So like that should come as no surprise.
For sure.
There's going to be
like
disagreements,
in life, you're
right?
Always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that Coach Wells, I think people got to kind of remember is Coach Wells, this was his first head coach job.
Yep.
It's not like he was like Gary, at least when he came here, had been around the block. He had
SUU.
Been in places. Yeah, he had been a D coordinator. Wells went from QB coach yeah. to O coordinator to head coach in a matter of 3 years.
Yeah.
So there was going to be some form of growing pains, right? And unfortunately, that comes out in like people saying this or telling this yeah. kind of story. But it's like going back to the same thing. Like, I don't think any head coach worth his salt has never created an enemy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
that's
so
that's fair.
I don't want to speak to that. I can speak to my experience with Coach yeah. Wells, and that is he always supported me and our team to the utmost of his capability. There Absolutely. Were times where he was put in a tough spot. I'm not going to talk about those. Yeah. You know, with some yeah. conduct of some players and things like that. But.
Well, all we can ask is your perspective of it, and, yeah. and it's good to get your side of things.
Yeah, yeah. I Coach Wells always, you know, I gave him a hug and was like, Coach, thanks for believing in me and your time here, and it was great. Like,
so,
best of luck.
Yeah, on that note, how did that go when he took that job? Now, given you're done anyway, other than the bowl game, but talk to us a little bit about that. Did he hold a meeting? How did that go?
Yep. So so obviously we had a team meeting where he was able to bring his family in, kind of say his piece. It was just very professional, very mutual. Like, hey, best of luck, love you guys, and go whoop some ass in the bowl game. Like that's yeah. basically what it was. Everyone I think was able to kind of give he and his wife and his kids a hug goodbye, and that was it. And so. It's tough. It's tough yeah. at that spot too, because of the time he's leaving. You know, in hindsight, 2020. You wish he could hold off until the bowl game,
right.
and then away we go, right? Because I honestly, if you want my opinion, I think we would have got a better bowl game if he stayed. But I yeah. think the fact
interesting
that we had yeah. a, I think the fact that we had a coach and change was kind of like a red flag for some bowls,
right?
To want to invite us. But anyways,
You know, kudos to Frank for stepping up.
Yeah,
I was just about to say that we knew we were going to be okay. There was like zero, and that's why that.
I mean, it was a solid team first off.
Yeah, Coach Frank. I remember. So we had a meeting with Coach Frank before the captains did, and he didn't even have to ask this, but he's like, "I'm just asking for your guys' back," and we were just like, "This is like you don't even have
yeah,
to ask.
Yeah.
Like it's already done deal. Like you're our guy."
Yeah.
But in a situation like that, so it was kind of like a little bit of an awkward meeting for Coach to come up and be like, "Hey, there's greener grass here, and I'm going to take it." And it's almost like as a player, I wanted to be treated as a professional, where it's like, I'm taking this opportunity and this is it. And this is what's best for me. Best of luck to you guys. And we'll see you later. Like, that's how I wanted to be treated. I don't yeah. like the, you know, oh, I love you guys. Like, this is a hard da 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 da. Like, I get it, man. Like, there's a yeah. lot of money there. It's a good opportunity. Best of luck.
Big
great
contract.
Times here, right? Like, and so that's the way that I wanted it to go, and that's the way that it went down, and now and so lucky for me, like that's how I wanted it.
Right.
So I have nothing but good things to say about it. So
for sure. So going back to that bowl game, we talked a little bit with Savon during the media day
yeah.
earlier, I guess in July, and we kind of got talking about that game and talked about some of the celebration penalties and things like that. So probably one of the most fun Aggie football games I've ever
yeah.
watched was that game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it down to it. Talk to us a little bit about that game specifically, the preparation. You mentioned it a little bit. You guys felt like you were going to be fine with or without the staff.
Yep.
You guys were prepared.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
So speaking to Frank, he did a fantastic job of managing the expectation moving forward for the bowl game. He sat us down and he's like, you guys are going to be fresh for this game. We're going to make sure that you're ready to go and that we take care of business and end this season the right way. So we had really smooth, really quick practices. You know, there wasn't a lot we needed to work on. We had a couple weeks to prepare. And then it was basically just get your pads on and get to the game.
Yeah.
Because we had prepared. We had done everything. We were fine. We were ready to go. Frank did his job in motivating us, making sure everyone was staying on track.
Right.
Now, going to the celebrations.
Yes.
It was obviously in a lot of our back pockets, right, that you know, our head coach is gone. This is our last game. Like, look, Frank, we love you, but you can't stop this. And I think Coach Frank understood that. I really do. Like, he was just kind of like, whatever about it. That was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, regardless. Because we had just, like, you lose your head coach. It's kind of like we felt a little bit like, man, New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah, I felt that way. I mean, I think as most Aggie fans were like, we should have got a better bowl.
Yeah, probably should have got a better bowl. And I think we proved that we deserved probably a little bit more of a better matchup by blowing those guys out. They were a pretty decent team all year.
Yeah, they were.
But those celebrations, those were in the back pocket for a while.
So Savon asked us, and I'm going to ask you, do you have a favorite celebration from that game? Something that stands out?
When Aaron Wade punted the ball.
That was his too. That's one of my favorites.
So you got to, I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked to Aaron Wade, but that's just the most Aaron Wade move that's ever
we haven't talked to him yet.
You guys need to.
Yeah, I mean,
Aaron Wade's a treat.
I remember the commentators being like, I don't think in all my years I've ever seen that. He just punts it into the stands.
Yeah, so Aaron I love Aaron. He's, you know, he was a fifth year senior with me, so we came in together.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so been with him for a long time, and yeah, that was awesome. Everyone on the side that was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Cheer!" I was like, "That's awesome, man. Good for you."
Well, because like that one. Okay, so all the others were obviously scripted. You know, you got Jordan's touchdown.
They throw the ball in the air.
Its bomb goes off. The dances, the stuff like that, all great. But his was raw. Like he hadn't practiced that.
Well, you can't like prepare for a pick like that.
No, for sure. It was awesome. So after that that win, what's the locker room like? I know it's probably a little wild, but like you don't have a head coach. Frank's in there. He's probably trying to like, does he give a speech? What did he do? Did he just kind of bow out and say, "This is for you guys"? What was that like?
Yeah, Frank is,
knowing how he is, I'd be surprised if he wanted.
Frank was very players' coach. So you have the ceremony, right, of the MVP and everything, and the trophy presentation, and that's on the field for like an extra hour.
Yep.
So there's really no like, hey, team meeting in the locker room.
Right.
And
right.
Everyone literally just leaves. After it's the strangest thing because there's so much structure for 14 weeks, and like this is when you're here, and then the last game of the year, it's like, hey, bye, like nice to know you guys. Like, if you want to catch a flight, go ahead, that type of thing. Like, my parents were there, and I think I left with them. Like,
oh yeah,
like, it was like a little league thing again. I was all right, so you guys never, I guess.
That's crazy.
But like the last coming together was a trophy presentation, tons of celebration, and like you mentioned, Coach Frank made it about us. He made it about the team, and it was just great. It was a fun way to end the career.
For sure, absolutely. And then, did you guys have your banquet?
How did the banquet?
Yeah, how does that go with a coaching staff change?
So the coaches that were
in other years you've had.
Yeah, so the coaches that were at the bowl game did it. So Coach Collins, Coach Frank, and I can't remember who else. I'm sorry if I forgot, if they're listening, but Coach Collins and Coach Frank kind of did our banquet, and that was that. And, credit to Zach Nyborg, made it really smooth. Again, unless you guys couldn't tell, I'm kind of like more of the, I don't like the goo goo gaga, like, let's drag this out, like 45 minutes and we're out, right?
Yeah.
So Zach was very professional with it, and that's what it was like.
You're not an emotional guy when it comes to showing tears and hugging and that. Let's just be done. This was fun.
Exactly.
That's good.
But the banquet was awesome because, you know, you got those dudes coming back. It's on the same day as pro day. So I got to go see, you know, all my guys. I unfortunately didn't get to see the pro day, but I had my people there videoing.
Cool.
I got everyone's video and watched them run their 40s and do their benches and verts and everything. So, you know, it was fun for me to go and congratulate all those guys that did the pro day. Yeah. Again, like I said, those are my guys, been with me for a long time.
You've been in touch with Dax at all since his injury?
Just was texting him earlier today. He's doing well, just rehabbing. He's telling me he's got to get a new helmet now.
Does he?
You're going to let him tint a visor. I told him to get that thing tinted as dark as he could. Look cool out there. So
That's seriously the coolest thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's good.
And the new Oakley ones are really cool.
Are they?
He needs to get a fat neck roll.
Pad, right? Yeah. That'd be awesome.
From like the 90s.
That'd be awesome. He should do the night and then do a crop top. Like, that's the best. Hey, by the way, that's my favorite look of in any era of college football.
Yeah.
With the 90s,
Bosworth.
Like Bosworth.
On the knuckles.
Give it to Bos, dude.
Nobody had gloves on, or it was like stick them on their shin. Yeah, like that's how they cut, and then it was just like these crop top, like Flutie, like you can see him jumping around in that video. You can see like his belly button hair. It looks so cool.
It's a good look.
I loved that, man.
That's
So talk to Dax, obviously, he's doing well. He's got a plan moving forward with the Bears, and looking forward to his career there.
Cool,
exciting, man.
Yeah,
it is.
Let's. Do you have anything else on this?
No, go ahead.
I just want to switch gears a little, talk about today's game.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Let's get into the last 10 minutes or so. Let's chat about today and what, okay. what you're expecting to see in this year's team.
Yeah.
So today, as far as Stony Brook, obviously, hopefully we see a team that respects all but fears no one, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and act like Stony Brook. I haven't done any scouting or anything.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to act like Stony Brook's, reputation precedes them, right? But right. Or something like that. Like, they should go in there and they should handle business. They should do so efficiently. Everything goes according to plan. Starters should be out by middle of the third, that type of thing, right?
Yep.
As we've kind of grown to expect when we play teams that aren't in Division I. So as far as today's game, the thing that I'd be mainly looking for is a level of focus that would prove to me that this team's ready to take a next step. Coming off a tough loss like that.
Yeah. Did you watch that game?
I did, yeah. So
tell us some of your thoughts there.
Okay, yeah. I can just jump right to the Wake Forest game. So
yeah, let's do it.
I want this to go out to all of Aggie Nation that everyone needs to relax.
Okay. Did you hear that? Relax.
I get it. Like, we're all itching for a big win, right? But let me just lay things out for you.
We got our big win coming at LSU.
Right. Well, there's that. But let's take steps. Like, let's map out a plan. Would you rather have a big win at LSU, or would you rather have a ring on your finger at the end of the year?
Right.
Both.
Right.
Bill.
So, all right. Yeah.
Pander to DJ
both,
for a minute.
Right? So my point being, there are steps to be able to take, right, to winning games at LSU. Now, that being said, and obviously I'm talking about a Mountain West championship.
Right.
It's beating Boise. It's beating San Diego in San Diego, which we've never done.
Right.
But we have a chance to here in 2 weeks. Like, those are the type of wins that I'm more looking forward to. Now, what I think is the reason why I'm telling Aggie Nation to relax, and I felt this a little bit, it almost felt like the world was ending, because that's such a winnable game that we just played against a winnable opponent, right? Middle of the pack, ACC. If we want to take the next steps, these are the type of games that the Boise's, Utah before they were in the Pac-12, like, they've always won these types of games, right?
Yep.
To take the next step. So there is a little bit of like an antsy, like, oh, are we ever going to get there? I'll tell you what calmed my nerves after this. So, flashback to last year, Michigan State. We had come off a couple rough years. We weren't very good. It was 3-9 and 6-7 my sophomore and junior year. So senior year, we come in, and we honestly, like, my goal for the game and going into it, I think most of the locker room felt this way. If we could just make it a game, like, in the second half, we were going to be hyped.
Right.
We were a couple of plays away from beating Michigan State.
Right.
Right, and they were ranked number 11. So after that game, it was all, like, positivity. Like, yo, we got a chance here. Flash forward to this year, I called my little brother after the game, and I was just curious. I was like, Chase, what's the mood? And he goes, everyone is dead silent and pissed off, which to me is the perfect sign of, all right, well, they're sick of it.
Yeah.
No more moral victories. No more like, yo, we're so close type of thing. It's like, screw being close.
We want to
win the game.
Yeah.
And let's handle business like that. And like, that's the next step. So that's the sign of why I feel relaxed and good about this team. Was my little brother was saying, like, nobody said a word on the bus. Everyone was just furious, knowing that they could have played a lot better in a lot of different spots, and there's so much more room for improvement. And then another thing, like, Wake Forest is going to win some games.
Dude, their quarterback's good.
They got a fifth-year senior at quarterback. Yep. They got athletic receivers. Like,
big receivers,
let's give some. Let's give them some credit. Like, they play Division I football, too.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, all those dudes that play for Wake Forest are the kids that Clemson didn't want.
Yeah.
And the kids that, like, LSU didn't want. Those are the type of kids that go to Wake Forest.
Right.
So it's not like they're scrubs.
Right.
Right? Like, their record may not be what an LSU or a Clemson record is, but they're still really good football players.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, yeah, as far as the Wake game, I loved how hard they battled, and man, it was just so fun to watch. And there's so much room for improvement, but you also got to get better in those areas, and they know that. The team knows that, right? So flash forward to today, I think we're going to see a focused Aggie team. We're going to see a motivated Aggie team, one that wants to take care of business and get this season rolling,
right?
And compete and win games in the Mountain West and win that championship.
I like games like today because, like you say, we hopefully our starters are done after the middle of the third, because you get to see some of our depth come out, and we can see what they're playing with.
Absolutely.
And I really like seeing you know, what those guys deeper in the charts are really doing.
Well, speaking to that, this is kind of a unique team this year in that not a lot of production is coming back, but the guys that are replacing them aren't necessarily young. So COC Mariner's not a young guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Warren's not a young guy.
Jalen Warren's not young. Caleb, what's his last name? So there's a boxer named Caleb Plant. He's a left-handed boxer, so that's what I've been calling him. But I'm sorry, Caleb, the tight end, number 87. He's not necessarily a young guy, right? So we have depth. Like, it's a young team in that they're young for the Aggies.
And I think
haven't been in Aggie uniforms for a long time.
I think people were worried about our O-line. And then, I think with that good. Wake Forest game, so, kind of...
I wish you guys would have had me on the pod earlier, because that was the group, if you asked me before the season, and I've told this to everybody, that was the group I was least worried about.
Really?
Seriously.
Really?
The way that offense is run, and Jordan being, you know, a senior quarterback with a lot of experience in
junior,
that offense.
But yeah.
Sorry about that. Jordan's been here so long. Yeah. His first day on campus, I was with him. So, like, he's like my age, if you ask me. Yeah. I went bowling with him his first night in Logan.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so me and him go way back. No, so that was actually the group that I was least worried about. Two reasons. The way the offense is run, very easy. It's very simple. It allows them to play, you know, very physically. There's not a lot that they have to be, like, worried about, I guess, with protections. Yeah. And then number two, Coach Woods is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's the best. That's all I'm just going to say. Like, there was zero concern as soon as I saw Coach Woods coming back. I was like, oh, O-line's going to be fine.
They're going to be good.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good. Do you have a prediction for the score of today's game? In your mind?
I don't know, man.
I hate predicting scores, but I wanted to put you on the spot.
Let's do, we'll say, I bet they'll light it up. Let's say like 56-13.
Cool. All right.
That's similar to what I was going to say.
I was going to say 52-9.
3-4. We'll light it up. 52-3.
Yeah.
That's fair, too.
That's cool.
I mean, our defense is going to be pretty good today, I think. So we're going to match up well against them defensively. Cool. Well, dude, appreciate you being
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, guys.
It's
fun.
It's been fun. We'll have to have you on again. We didn't realize we live a few minutes
from
neighbors, each other.
So, like, any preview or anything, like a Thursday night before you want to do it, before games or something, give me a call and we'll do it. Yeah,
be careful what you say. I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah, we seriously will.
You guys know I love talking, so
it's been good.
Do you mind leaving us with our little tagline?
Yeah, so I appreciate you guys having me on. Every Aggie is a legend. What's your story?
Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude.